Well, hey, everyone, this is Lisa Anderson, and welcome to this week's show. Later on in the show, we're going to obviously tackle our inbox. Counselor M.T. Wilson is here to talk about kind of a take from a listener question on the will of God. How much of a choice do we really have? If we pray about it, should we wait for God to work? Do we move in that direction? What does that all look like? It's a conundrum that many of us have wrestled with. So fortunately, M.T. is here to answer that. And then for our culture segment, we have the fabulous Aaron Damiani back to talk about the good of giving up, really a discussion on Lent and how Lent isn't just for Catholics, people. So our Catholic friends, you know about Lent. The rest of us need a little primer. So fortunately, Aaron is going to be here. He has done some great work in this area, is going to give us practical ways to celebrate Lent and how Lent actually enhances your celebration of the resurrection and beyond. So super cool there. Now, not as heady, but super fun and practical. And we were talking about how we think this is going to be a fun discussion. I have got Anthony, Ashley, and Jake here. Hey, guys.
Hey.
That was really weird because Anthony's name is Anthony Ashley.
I was going to say.
So it was like Anthony Ashley.
You just totally left out Ashley.
Anthony Ashley.
And
Jake. And
we're going to talk about just healthy practices. I think we would agree. I mean, there are tons of articles out there of how we're all just running ourselves into the ground. We're all going to die early because we're just too crazy and whatever. We have bad habits. We have adopted bad attitudes and all kinds of stuff. And so we need to pull back and realize that there are actually good practices, good disciplines that we can have that are going to help us in the long run. Now, 20-somethings and 30-somethings don't like talking about these because we all think that we're just healthy and great and we're never, nothing on us is ever going to break down. For those of us that are on the later end of that spectrum, it has already happened. And so shame on you for not thinking so, all you youngsters, because just you wait. But I just want this to be a fun discussion of like, what in the world are we doing? Could we be doing? What have we found that will just help everyone else maybe do those little things that are a couple little tweaks in your daily routine or schedule that might help you? So the first thing I want to throw out there is, what would you say is your biggest problem area in general of just life, managing your life, stuff that either you don't have time to do or you hate doing, or for some reason you always cut corners on because that's just where you live? Because we all know that the stuff that we love doing, the stuff that truly is our priority, is the stuff that gets on the calendar and everything else gets swept under the rug. So who wants to start?
I always put off things like paying taxes or not paying taxes. I pay my taxes, but doing taxes. Okay. Yeah. You know, those extra projects that are just like really boring, or like going to the doctor, or, you know, things that you just don't want to do.
Yeah.
The dentist. I mean, I do go, just so you know.
The dentist has a strong opinion about your engagement.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly.
But like preventative maintenance is
right,
what you're saying.
Yes,
because if your teeth aren't falling out, why in the world am I going
right,
to
the
dentist?
Yeah, well,
I don't have time for that.
There's no
right.
pain, so why
have
you
not
go?
Seen Castaway? He has to use an ice skate and a rock.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, well, okay. We're not going that far. But yeah, so I don't like doing those kind of things. I'd rather, you know, just keep putting them off and keep putting them off and do the more mm-hmm. fun things. Mm-hmm. Hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
Watch Netflix.
That's good. And
yeah.
pay for it later.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, pretty much all exercise, unless I can score points while doing it, I abhor.
Okay. Huh.
And I really hate exercising in the morning. So I always say I'm going to exercise in the evenings.
Yeah.
And then I play with my kids, and I talk to my wife, and I'm going to play some video games and watch some Netflix, and I never work out. So I would say that's probably the big one for me, is it's way easier to do all of those things and to never make time for exercise, which now that I don't have, you know, my goal of being in the NFL has been shattered. Mm-hmm. I don't prioritize exercise anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So see, that's me, because I wanted to be a professional water skier.
Yeah.
Really?
And then I'm just like, yeah. Huh. But now I'm like, I live in Colorado, and so I can't be a professional water skier, and so I'm just not going to do anything.
Yeah. What's the
and
point?
So,
interesting.
If I can't play in the NFL,
right.
why bother?
So, but here's my new thing that I found.
Okay.
I found tennis. So I decided that I like tennis. And so, and I have courts right near my house. And so I nabbed a friend who also is willing to do tennis, and she's better than I am. But we both determined we're going to see if we can get to Wimbledon. We don't know yet, but we're trying to practice. But it gives me motivation. It's like, that is the fastest hour for me. I have always tried to run. Hate it. I can put my shoes on. I can go across the street and there are trails, and I make myself do it and I hate it. And now I'm like, now I found something that I actually enjoy. And so I'm a big proponent of, even if you have to pay for it, if you have to sign up for a class to do something you love, make it happen, because otherwise you won't do it.
I tried to do that this Thanksgiving. I went to play football and they're like, hey, we can play flag or we can play tackle. One concussion later, oh, ER visit because I broke
and
my
kidney failure as well.
Yeah. Kidney failure.
let's do things that are attainable.
So maybe don't pay for football unless you have pads.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. For me, it's time management and getting better at saying no to things. So this is probably a problem all over my life. Just like way too many things coming in, way too many inputs, way too many things demanding my time. So I'm in a season of trimming the fat and of figuring out like what matters and getting better at saying no. And not just no, but finding like helpful alternatives depending on what is coming at me. So
yeah,
and also like along with that, just cutting off like media sources, deleting Facebook from my phone, and that kind of thing. It's a, it's super helpful.
Is that why you've turned down all my Hangout invites?
Yeah, I'm taking the social media guy.
Okay, so that's an interesting topic because I think for millennials, that's just like a how do you even live without media? I mean, so we have this newsletter here at Focus that Ashley works on and puts out, and they shared some little blip today in the newsletter about the first computer at Focus, and it was in 1980. Uh-huh. And the immediate thing I thought, I mean, I'm not even like thinking like, oh, how cool, and let me read this thing. I'm thinking, what did people do then at Focus before 1980 if they didn't have computers? Like, did they just sit around and like write on notepads or what?
Did they send like carrier pigeons across the building?
They just answered their phone and talked to people, I guess, and sat in meetings. And
some people here still work that way.
Well, yeah. So it is, but it's kind of funny because then I think of like, you know, I'm a big fan of Little House on the Prairie. And when the sun went down, they stopped working. And when the sun came up, they started working. And Anthony, you're like a big proponent of that and yet you have to live in this tension of being a media guy too,
yeah,
and having all these devices.
No, I think about this a lot, like the fact that I work in digital strategy, and yet increasingly I'm seeing that there are all kinds of evils that come into our lives as a result of how we've let digital control us versus like using it with wisdom as a tool that supports us. So I'm still working that out, but I've been making a number of great choices that feel good and that are surprisingly like easy to live with.
Yeah, I think I need to start trimming some of that. Because for me, it is, it trends into, I mentioned at the top of the discussion, the concept of sleep, which I try to be I heard that it was like Martha Stewart, who gets 3.5 hours a night or something, or 4 or whatever, and claims that she's okay. So I find that hard to believe. But then I'm like, I see myself trimming off hours too by checking email first thing in the morning when I get up, checking it before I go to bed, you know, scrolling through blogs and various news feeds and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably not the best way to prepare for rest. Mm. And I realize I'm probably not getting as much sleep as I should.
Yeah,
I don't
definitely.
Know.
You guys, yeah, because when you have the screens going, science shows you need to have them shut down for at least an hour before you actually go to sleep if you want to get good sleep. So even if you're going to get
do that.
Seven or 8 hours, most of us are swiping through our feeds up until we literally close our eyes.
Yeah.
And that's impacting the amount. So we're like, I'm getting 8 hours. Well, you're not getting the right 8 hours because scientifically, the light that your phone is emitting is telling your brain to operate differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely.
I think we're just confused about how, like what it means to rest, because in my mind, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to relax. I'm going to watch TV, or I'm going to look at Facebook or whatever, and that's, you know, just like winding down. But that's not necessarily true either. Like, what about
not
just
truly restful?
Yeah, reading a book or going on a walk, or like, we just don't really think about other things that could be winding down or restful. I think we're just very confused, especially as millennials, on what does that even mean to rest?
Well, because I think there's a total difference between resting and just checking out. You know, we're very good at checking out, and you know, I am floored, and I'm not saying this like in any kind of moral superiority or whatever, but I'm floored at how many like shows people follow during the course of the week. People who are binge, whether they're binge watching shows or they watch reality TV or whatever, and they're keeping up with like 6 or 7 shows a week. And I'm like, how are you even doing this? Like, where is your life? Where do you have margin for this? I just don't understand it. It's nutty to me.
I'm challenging myself with that same problem because I love movies. I love good shows with the question of not just like, you know, where's this time coming from, but also like, what's the cost of living that way? Mm-hmm. Like, if we have so much time, and our time is here for a reason, and we should live investing into eternity, and like, if our lives are something to be invested and poured out for good, and if we need time every week, like sourcing our life from God and spending time with humans and et cetera, like what's the cost of investing my life into these things that that pay no return? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that like experiencing art pays no return. Like, I actually, you know, I have a pretty high view of cinema and of those kinds of arts. But at some point, the priorities in one's life can get skewed pretty quickly.
So, yeah.
And I think too, it's part of, you know, we talk, I believe it's Marshall McLuhan is a pretty prominent guy when it comes to media. And he's the one that is pretty prominent behind the idea that the medium is the message.
Yeah.
And I don't fully agree with that, but I think there is a strong correlation when you look at the type of media we consume, whether it's binge watching, you know, 20 to 40 minute long episodes of TV shows, or scrolling through our Facebook feed and reading blog after blog, watching meme after meme, watching funny video after funny video. It's almost like I compare it to a Chick-fil-A nugget, because they're so small and they're so delicious. You're like, I'll just eat one. I'm not going to have a whole chicken sandwich. I'm just going to eat one nugget. And then like 20 nuggets later, you're like, yeah, I've basically eaten 2 sandwiches. Mm-hmm. But I think we do this with our media all the time.
Yeah.
You know, because this happens to my wife and I. We'll be doing stuff around the house. And it's like, hey, do you want to watch a movie? You know what? We don't really have time for a movie. Let's just watch a TV show. 3 hours later, yeah, you've binge watched, you know, how many episodes of a TV show we would have spent less time on a movie. So it's almost like as we've gotten these smaller and smaller chunks of media, it's become easier and easier to justify them.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about, hey, how much time do I have to invest into ministry? Well, hey, 5 minutes on Facebook, what? That's nothing. Like, that's not time I can go drive all the way downtown and take care of a homeless person. So we kind of have that justification, but then it builds and it builds, and 5 becomes 15, becomes 30, becomes hours.
I think there's too just a fear of missing out. I mean, I have not seen an episode of This Is Us, and I'm pretty convinced that I'm like subhuman, because everyone's talking about it. Everyone is just changing their life. They're bursting into tears randomly and stuff. And I am just blank stare. Don't even know what they're talking about. And so it is one of those things where all of a sudden you feel like, what am I missing? What should I be doing? Maybe I better make time for it and make it happen. I don't know.
Yeah, everyone's like, this is life changing, because it is. They just spent hundreds of hours on something.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about this after I binge watched The Office all 9 seasons for the third time.
Okay. So what's something that you guys have done, whether it's just a little small, like add to your day, something super attainable, or it doesn't even have to be a consistent thing, or it could be an overtime kind of thing, that has truly made a difference in your life, that you were like, this was worth the time and attention, the discipline that I gave to doing this, that you think is important for people to know about?
I decided to try to get 9 hours of sleep every night, which during my phase of life is very attainable. I'm sure later on that won't be. But I started setting an alarm on my phone to go to like start winding down at 9. And so I'll turn off my phone, I'll read my Bible, and then I'll go to bed at 9:30 and then get up at 6:30 in the morning. And I've had a full 9 hours of sleep, and I feel so much more.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So how clearly you don't do things with people in the evening. Like, how does this work? Because that's like a grandma schedule.
I set the same alarm on my phone and I ignore it every single time.
I know. So I still hang out with people, but then just like around 9, I'm like, okay, I'm going to head out. Peace out. And see you later.
Cool.
And yeah, it works.
Way to be strong.
Yeah, wow. And I feel like during the day, I'm so much more alert and so much more focused. I have better ideas, more creative. Mm-hmm. So I think just when I gave myself the permission to have more rest, then I felt more at peace about it. Because I think it's easy to feel guilty, like, oh, I should be staying later with these people or hanging out more or doing more stuff late at night. But you don't need to. Like, there's no reason why you need to give up rest or sleep just to see someone else, talk to someone else for another 30 minutes. You know, it's just like there's something about giving yourself the permission to go to sleep and to rest and let yourself have that time. That's really healthy. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to be totally taken by it. I think, Anthony, you actually just shared a newsletter with me that of somebody who was talking about this.
Yeah.
Because I'm totally obsessed with, I have to know all things at all time. Uh-huh. It's my job. You know, I'm in social media. I have to know everything happening on social media all the time, day or night. And actually I don't, but I put that pressure on myself and I don't give myself permission. Like Ashley was saying, to have that boundary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good. The biggest change I've made in my life in the last couple of years, and it impacts every area of my life, relationships, physical health, spiritual health, boundaries on media, and so on. That change is deciding to go to bed at 10 o'clock and wake up at 5. Hmm. And I'm not perfect on the 10 o'clock part, but I'm pretty close to like 5 to 5:15. And that was a game changer for me. 7 hours is a good amount for me. That feels like a lot. And like, it's got this incredible domino effect. So one, like, the only time I can work out is in the morning. But if I stay up a little too late, I'm not going to wake up on time to work out. Mm. Now that I go to bed on time, I wake up early, I can work out. And that helps me have to go to bed at 10 because I'm so tired that I even if I try to watch a movie or something, I pass out. Mm-hmm. I become that guy. also, you know, like past 10 o'clock, pretty much all that I feel like I need that time to accomplish something. And yet if I audit my use of those hours, I do nothing with it except for watch movies and shows. Mm-hmm. I don't like read some great novel or get work done or have amazing ideas. I just veg and get fatter. So choosing to go to bed at 10, it's also great for my relationship with my wife, obviously. And then I have a Fitbit, which I do not use as a pedometer. I only wear it at night, and I have it because it's got a vibrational alarm, which is awesome. So I have it set to 5 and then 5:05, and it's just like a general silent vibration on my wrist that wakes me up. And I have a backup on my iPhone, an audible one that I'm typically motivated to get out of bed and grab so that it doesn't wake people up. And then I have from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock is mine. I can work out, I can meditate, I can pray, I can read the scriptures, I can like plan my day out, all of that in those 3 hours. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And all of that with decent leisure. And then the rest of my day is so well set up. And like, yeah, there was a hard transition point to go from, because like prior to that, I'd never get tired. Like it could be 3 a.m. and I'd force myself to go to bed because I should. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like it's just been transformative. Like everything in my life is working better as a result of that. And if you look at, if you take like a survey of the most successful, productive, wealthy, you know, whatever like positive metric you want, those people have, you know, hugely in common that they sleep, wake up early and go to bed, you know, mm-hmm. at a decent time. There's obviously like a variance in there, but that's pretty consistent.
Yeah. That's interesting because I feel like I've done that too out of necessity, just from rearranging my life and having my mom with me now and stuff. So she, you know, gets to bed early. And so then I'm just like, well, I guess I'll get to bed. But for me, it's been waking up early in order to start off my day with just with time with God. Because I always made the excuse of I'm not a morning person. I can't do it. I'm going to do it at the end of the day. And then I would blow it off or I was just super inconsistent. Then I would go into this like guilt and shame downward spiral. And then I would waste time being guilty about it. And then I wouldn't get in other things like a workout or whatever. So now that happens in the morning, and my workout I almost always get done at lunch at work, whether I do a class here at work or I go out for a run or I do, except for my tennis, which I started, I fit that in elsewhere, or a hike or a run or something. But it's made such a difference because then it forces me to take a break during the day too, where it's very easy for me to just plow through and think, oh no, I'm too important to take a lunch. I need to get all this stuff done. And it's really like, what am I actually accomplishing? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that time management I think has been huge for me.
And it's not just a luxury. I think in our culture and this world where it says you got to have drive and you got to be constantly going and doing and experiencing mm-hmm. life, that we view rest, true rest, as like a luxury or as a cop-out, mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. one of the two.
Yeah.
But we know mm-hmm. scientifically and as Christians biblically, it's not a cop-out and it's not a luxury. It's actually a necessity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I even think I was thinking about this a couple of months ago. when the prophet Elijah had just slain tons of prophets of Baal and was running for his life, and he was in the midst of this really terrible, rough moment. Mm. God let him out. He was out in the desert, and God gave him rest, and he gave him food and water. Mm-hmm. And he slept for a couple of days, and he said, sleep, get some food, get some water. And if we look at that, it's like he should have been running. He shouldn't have been taking any time. People were after him for his life, and God was like, you need some sleep. You need some food. You need some water. Mm-hmm. And the Sabbath was created for us, for our benefit, not as a cop-out, not as a luxury, but as a necessity.
Yeah.
So I think we all need to be like hipsters and start a new trend and rest.
I love it.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think God speaks to us a lot in the times of rest. Like if you look through the Bible, there are so many times where God speaks in a small, quiet voice. And if you're like busy rushing around, you don't hear it. Like for instance, when God called the prophet Samuel, Samuel was a boy and he was asleep in the temple. And that's when God decided to first speak to him. Or like another Elijah moment when he was up on the mountain and God came and he wasn't in an earthquake or a big fire or a loud wind, but he was in a still small voice. And I think if we don't, if we're so busy rushing around, then we're not going to hear what God has to say to us.
I even think of the ministry of Jesus, how, you know, it was in a very small radius of space and a relatively small number of people, you know, for the day. And just the impact, obviously, that he chose to make on the people that were right in front of him and choosing the 12 and choosing the three and all that. So thanks, you guys. Yeah, very good ideas. All right, folks, weigh in on the blog. Let us know what your strategies are for just truly self-care, for rest, for just maximizing things that are going to make you ultimately not only more, you know, just more happy and successful in your day-to-day routines, but ultimately able to glorify God in what you're up to. So thanks, guys.